Hello and welcome to Pop a la Carte podcast number 31. Today we are discussing the Oscars and that, I don't know, shenanigans. Shenanigans? Is that
shenanigans.
A good word?
I mean, or really kind of like the distinct lack of shenanigans.
The distinct lack, which is why it was such a poorly rated show. Anyway, we're also going to be speaking about a new AMC show coming out at the end of the month called The Terror. I might discuss Endeavor a little bit because I love it.
Okay.
Tatiana has seen A Wrinkle in Time.
Yes, and I will discuss some Wrinkle in Times.
And we did watch our MCU recap this week is for The Dark World.
Recap. Like we've, recap. We've ever really told a anyone recap. What happens in any of these movies.
I know, right? It's not really a recap. Review?
Yeah, sure. Review. Sure.
I don't know.
And anyway, we'll discuss some Infinity War.
Yes, the poster. The news that it's coming earlier, which means we have less time for our recap.
That's right.
Or review, whatever the fuck our we're calling it.
Our rewatch.
Whatever the fuck we're calling it.
Our re-up. You know, whatever.
Anyway, I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
So, the Oscars.
They did happen.
They happened. Yes. I didn't actually get to watch them live because it was my dad's birthday that day.
Oh, that's right.
The 65th birthday. Happy birthday, Dad.
Aww.
So we went out and we actually watched Annihilation, which, by the way, not bad.
I want to see Annihilation.
Matt really liked it. My brother really liked it. I think my aunt and uncle who went with us really did not like it. It's very weird.
It's very weird.
It's
okay.
Very, very weird. But it's interesting.
Okay,
it makes
good.
You think, which is good.
It's I like thinking.
Hard science fiction. So,
all right,
you know,
I can handle it. I can do it.
It is hard sci-fi.
I'm a strong, independent woman who understands science fiction.
Science fiction is awesome, and it makes you think. It was, yeah, it made, it's, I don't want to
right,
give anything away.
Spoil.
There's a big topic that it ends up being about that I did not expect.
Was that topic related to Annihilation?
Yes.
Okay.
And so it was, yeah, it was interesting. It made me think. I kind of want to watch it again now that, you know. And everybody was amazing, so that's always good.
Mm.
And I'm in love with Tessa Thompson now. So.
She is pretty awesome.
She is amazing. Anyway, back to the Oscars, which is actually what we're
right,
talking about.
The Oscars.
So we went home and watched afterwards.
Yeah.
Stayed up really late watching it because it's, you know. Mm. 4 billion hours long.
Oh, God. And all those freaking montages. Like, why do we need someone to present the presenter? Like, can the presenters just walk on stage and present the award?
I don't think we really need... Like, how about instead of introducing them...
Yeah.
Either you just have a voiceover introducing them, or you just put the names up on the screen.
Yeah. And with people, parentheses, name of movie they were in.
Yeah.
If we're watching the Oscars, we'll probably get it.
Yeah.
And
probably.
If we don't get
although,
it, we don't care.
To be fair, there were a few people I was like, I don't have any clue who that person is, but,
did
good
you,
for them.
Right. Did you feel better when they showed you the montage and then you're like, oh, cool. I still don't know who that person is, but
not
good
really.
For them.
Not yeah. really.
You could just shorten it by so much if y'all just stop.
I like some of the, like, you know, yay, it's been 90 years, remembering movies montages. Like, that was fun.
Yeah, those are nice.
Yeah, I don't know. We fast-forwarded through all of the songs except for...
Oh, really?
Except for Married to Bowie.
I was gonna say, the songs are probably, like the best part of the evening. Just being like, oh, which one's gonna win? I love them all.
I hadn't seen any of the movies, but I had... And the Greatest Showman song, I heard one clip of it 85 million times on NPR in the week before the movie, I was so freaking sick of it. I was like, we're not listening to this one.
That's so funny.
But I had heard Mary J. Blige on NPR talking about it, and I heard part of the song, and I was like, I'd like to actually hear the rest of the song, because I really liked that
Yeah,
one.
I really liked
so
the song.
So I was kind of sad that it didn't win.
I was happy that Remember Me won, because I love Coco, but I agree that Mary J. Blige's song, if not Coco, then that would have been my second favorite. But I saw a lot of people being like, oh, This Is Me, which is the Greatest Showman song, was robbed. And I was like, well, I also love that song. I really loved all of them.
Yeah.
I really like all those songs. The one with Common, and I like that one a lot. I hadn't
seen
that movie,
though. I saw
my
Diane Warren, so I was like, I can't.
Oh.
Screw Diane Warren. I'm sorry, Common. But, oh, I can't.
But yeah, but I hadn't seen that movie. Although I think that's one with Chadwick Boseman, right? Isn't it the Thurgood Marshall movie?
Yes.
So, that's funny. And then I don't remember the last one. If it was the last one.
It's from Call Me By Your Name.
That's right. Oh, Sufjan Stevens. My college, like high school and college years, I was obsessed with Sufjan Stevens.
Really?
And so I like it for that reason. But I also will have to say that when I first heard it in the movie, I thought it was just one of his old songs. I was like, oh, they put Sufjan Stevens in there. I was like, oh no, it's a new song. It just sounds like all his other songs.
Yeah. So. I did finally watch that movie, by the way. Last night, actually. And I really liked it. Mm-hmm. I like that it's very subtle.
Yeah.
And simple, in a way. It was funny, though, because I was... I posted about having finally watched it and on Facebook, and mm-hmm. a friend was like... Oh, I really want to see that, but I'm really worried about it being too, like, Lolita. And I was like...
It's not meant to be like Lolita, though.
No.
Like, I get where people are coming from with that, because Armie Hammer looks 40.
Yeah. But... he definitely doesn't look what... I think he's supposed to be 24. 24.
He says he's 24.
He definitely does not look 24. But I... Just because I know he's supposed to be, I just decided to accept it. And yeah. So it's like... You know, Elio is... 17. Mm-hmm. So 17 and 24. And yes, there's a big difference because one is a kid still right. in a lot of ways. But at the same time, he is the age of consent in Italy. Mm-hmm. He's 14. So wasn't and his parents knew.
Yeah.
So technically not illegal. Mm-hmm. It is one of those things. And it's not like people are like, oh, it's pedophilia. It's like, no, not really.
Right.
Pedophilia is much younger.
It's pederasty.
I'm like, that's a word? I've never heard that.
It's that's like the Greek, like, you know, the older men, like, teaching the younger boys.
Oh, okay. I see how it is. But it's also not, it's not that, it's a story of first love.
Yeah.
And, spoiler alert, losing that first love, and that doesn't always last. And, whereas Lolita is power play right. and obsession mm-hmm. and seduction, it's very, very different. It's like, I can understand where people just look at the superficial and right. see, but it's like, no. Plus, it's also, you know, she's what, like, 13, 14?
Yeah, she's literally
and he's, child. Like, 60.
Right.
So, that's...
Yeah, like, that's taking it way too far.
Yeah.
Like, when people say Lolita, they just mean the age difference, and they probably yeah. have not read or seen Lolita and don't know anything about, like,
yes, about what it
marrying
actually
means. Her mom and then, like, sticking her with sleeping pills every night so that you can go harass her daughter. Like... Yeah. Anyway.
And as much as the Armie Hammer's character, Oliver, does test the waters, I guess, in a way, mm-hmm. it is Elio that goes after him.
Right.
So it's, he does let him, you know, yeah, I don't know. I really liked it. I liked it better than I liked the Best Picture winner, The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
I've only seen 4 of the movies. I'm still trying to get through the rest of them, but I've only seen 4 of them. Out of those 4, Get Out is still my favorite.
Yeah.
And then I would probably say Call Me By Your Name is next.
Okay.
And I probably like Dunkirk better than Shape of Water, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I really think Shape of Water is interesting, mm-hmm. but it's just, I didn't...
I think what I ended up deciding, like, I did like Shape of Water, and I liked it a lot while I was watching it, but, like, when thinking about it after, it's like, I don't know anything about the fish man. Sorry, the rain god. The Amazon rain god. I don't know, river god, whatever he is.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him, and he's just there to serve, like, Eliza's needs. Mm-hmm. So then, like, I remember my friend, she was just, like, so angry, because she was like, well, how could you just leave Richard and Octavia? Yeah, Richard characters' names, like, yeah. I can't remember their names right now.
I can't,
like,
remember anybody's,
like,
names either.
And I think that speaks to, like, how much more invested you are as an audience member in them and, like, their lives, and mm-hmm. Eliza's with them than in, like, the actual romance.
Yes.
You know?
I really was like, I want you to have a happy life, but yeah, these people cared about you, and you just don't care. For this fish man that you met 3 days ago.
Right. And so it's like, you know, the power, love conquers all, and that's great. But also, I mean, like, I like the message thing that, like, finding your voice, even when you literally don't have one, mm-hmm. but there are probably other ways to execute that.
Yeah.
I like the whole... like, world that they crafted around it, but I didn't actually care about the central
yeah.
dynamic.
And it's not his best movie.
Right.
That's
Pan's It's definitely not his best movie.
It's nowhere near his best movie. So, like, I don't, yeah, I don't know.
It's another one of those, like, it's, you're getting this one now because we didn't get it before.
Yes, it feels yeah. like you're, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's far from the worst Best Picture.
Right. I mean, winner. I was honestly just, like, not 3 billboards. I'm for it. Anything that's not movie yeah. billboards is a winner.
Well, and I mean, in general, like, it's not the worst movie that's ever won that I feel like shouldn't have won. Like, that's Crash.
Right.
But
right.
it's still...
Yeah. Anime. It's kind of like, under... I was just glad that Get Out won original screenplay. Like, I was not expecting that. So. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
Blessings from on high. And speaking of, even though I hated Three Billboards, I did love Frances McDormand's speech.
Yeah. And that was a great speech. Yeah.
And she was like, inclusion writer. And everyone was Googling what inclusion writer was.
What the hell is an inclusion writer?
Yeah. Which, by the way, if you don't know, although tweeters have tweeted it now, an inclusion writer is when the actor or the celebrity that you hire in whatever capacity demands as part of their contract that 50% of it be diverse. So it has to be like 50-50 men and women or 50% POC. In order to hire them.
In other words, it actually reflects society as opposed to being, you know, Donald Trump's ideal.
Exactly.
which doesn't exist. Yeah. Yeah, it looks like the real world.
Yeah.
So it's sad that you have to put that in.
Right.
But it does, yeah.
But, like, if you're in a position to do it, you know.
Use your power.
Do it.
Yeah, definitely.
And I did like, I liked some of, like, I feel like Kimmel, right? Which Jimmy is it? He did a pretty decent job, but it's like...
There was nothing really special.
Exactly. Considering that half of his jokes were about Black Panther, which isn't even from that year, like, that shows you just how blah the year was. And then there's a couple of Get Out ones, because Get Out actually, and like, the fish head. So there you go. That's, like, the iconic memories of 2017.
What did you
think
of the going into the theater?
That was such a waste of time to me. I just...
Yeah, it was, well, and a lot of people pointed out, it's like, okay, but you're just being like, hey, we're so important.
Yeah, you're interrupting their fucking screening. Like, I know that you would rather see us than watch the movie that you waited in line to see.
What's funny, if you really think about it, what's funny is, like, if these people actually cared about the Oscars, they would have been home watching the fucking Oscars.
Exactly, they wouldn't be at this screening. Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so I thought that was just a waste. Like, I'm like, oh, it's, like, I guess it's cute, but it's really I think they did it. Did they do it last year? Not with but they did some other
the tour bus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that was a little bit.
Somebody supposedly got arrested afterwards.
Oh my God. Seriously?
I was hearing that. They were like, oh, who's going to get arrested this time? Yeah.
And then, like, giving it to, like, some rando to say the next thing. Like, that dude doesn't want to say that thing. And also, he didn't do a good job. So, why do that? Yeah. This just seems like more of a time waster. And why do you want to waste time other than ads? I guess you want to appeal to. Get all those ads in.
Yeah.
That's really the reason.
Yeah. But then they never, they never buffer it. Mm. So we added 45 minutes at the end and we weren't sure. We're like, is this going to run over?
Right.
It didn't. Luckily.
Luckily.
And luckily the best picture was the right best picture. I was glad that Faye Dunaway and, what's his face?
That's his legacy. Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty. They got a second chance since it was not their fault last
week. That was cute.
And I love that she wore the same dress.
Yeah.
I thought that was cute.
Speaking of wearing the same dress, Frida Moreno wore the same dress as her, West Side Story win.
1962?
Yeah, 1962.
Yeah, that was really cute.
And Guillermo del Toro, I think, they checked to make sure it was the right one when he goes up.
Yes, he was like, oh, yes, it is. somebody pointed out, by the way, that his pocket square was the wallpaper from The Shape of Water.
Oh, that's cute.
I was like, oh, that is cute. That is really cute.
Now, did you hear that The Shape of Water is actually being sued for plagiarism?
Yes, I have.
what did you think about that?
That always makes that awkward.
Because, I mean,
you'd have to read
I haven't actually read the script or seen the thing, but, like, I went in and I read the description of the movie, and then I, like, went to read, like, the, like, two reviews on IMDb.com for it. And it was, like, she's a janitor, but it's a literal dolphin. And then she wants to rescue it, and then she fails. So I was, like, is that, I mean, definitely, yeah, I see the kernel of, like, janitorial staff and, like, an animal. Obviously, there's not a romance. Obviously, it's not, you know.
It's so hard, because it's, like...
And then what if you don't even know that that's where you came up with that? You know what I mean? Like, if you're like...
You saw it and...
You don't remember that because it was fucking horrible. And... Yeah. but yeah, that's what I'm like, how would you, like, judge that? And it's like, supposedly the other dude, whose name I can't remember, is the one that gave Guillermo del Toro, that was like, well, what if you make it, set it like this? So then it would be that dude who had seen it and then gave that... You know, Guillermo, who then wrote a script without knowing about the existence of the thing.
Oh, yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah, so I'm like, how far do you can you take that?
I am just really glad I'm not creative in that way, because it would be terrifying all the time.
Like, shit, am I stealing someone's ideas? Yeah.
I know.
Turn everything in as adapted screenplay.
Well, because, like, there's, you know, the story of, like, J.K. Rowling has been sued.
Oh, really?
Over Harry Potter.
What?
And there's somebody who basically says it's, like, the same thing. And, like, if you read the description, it's very similar. Oh, but Neil Gaiman actually wrote something that's very similar before J.K. Rowling.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, if anything, she saw that. And he said, well, I see the similarities, but, you know,
but, like,
she came up with her own world.
Yeah, that's, like, the thing, too. Like, because sometimes, like, tropes are all very similar,
yes,
you know,
yeah, that's
so
the hard part.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just for everything you put, just be like, based on shit I've seen in my life,
and I'm not trying to steal
exactly
from anybody.
It came from somewhere, but yeah,
you can't, I mean, you know, everybody uses the same, it's like the same three stories, yeah, right?
And how does that work with, like, stuff like 50 Shades of Grey or Mortal Instruments,
where
it
literally
was fanfic that then was turned into, like, how do they do that? Because everyone knows that that's what it was.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do they pay royalties to those people, or I don't know.
I doubt it.
Find out. Let us know if you know.
I'm sure that they don't. I don't know.
Anyway.
Oh, random fact, because we were talking about it, that I saw, apparently at the, like, after parties or something, the director of Call Me By Your Name, and, well, at James Ivory as well. The man, I can't remember his name, who wrote the book. But it's based on, said that they are working on a sequel 5 years later. It takes place in the 90s.
With the same characters?
Yeah. Both Timothy Chalamet and Armie Hammer are coming back. I know. I'm like, okay, so I can kind of get wanting, you know, yeah, okay, you want the happy ending, because, like, it's hard watching a movie where you don't get that. Especially if you did get all that invested in the characters. But it's like, yeah, that is, it's supposed to be about, like, so what are you going to do? Give the happy ending?
Or just he'll cheat on his wife for a while and then go back.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I think everybody just wants to go hang out in Italy again.
Right. Because
that was the main thing I got from the movie was,
Italy's great.
I really miss Italy, and we should all just own lakeshore houses. Basically. Yeah.
That's funny.
And apparently you can just, you know, find statues in the middle of the lakes there, so let's just start dredging Lake Como. Anyway.
But yeah, it was a very pretty movie. I agree. But yeah, so, like, in general, I feel like there wasn't any big upsets. Everything kind of just went according to...
Yeah. I think everybody won who mostly who we expected to win.
Yeah, like, even Get Out winning original screenplay, because they've been getting a lot of stuff for that, you know, for the screenplay, if not for...
I mean, I think most people expected Three Billboards to win Best Picture, but I don't think anybody actually wants
it. Right, right. I think, like, I feel like by the time...
He did. He said it was robbed, because after I said
robbed.
That Get Out was robbed.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Three Billboards was not robbed. Alright, it's fine. Three Billboards got just a little bit more than it deserved. Frances McDormand deserved the win, and Sam Rockwell didn't have it, because, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Another person who was more awarded for his body of work as opposed to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just glad that Meryl Streep, I mean, not that it was ever going to happen, but glad that she did not get, she was nominated, right?
Meryl Streep?
For the post. Yeah,
yes.
I was like, what is even, this is literally like any other role she's taken. She could sleepwalk through this.
I kind of feel like she does sleepwalk through most of it, because she's just that talented, she doesn't have to try.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Huh. Any other Oscar thoughts?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I think the best part of the Oscars was the next morning when Trump tweeted some BS about it being the lowest rated in history, and then Jimmy Kimmel responded like, oh, you're the lowest rated president in history?
I missed what his response was! That's awesome!
And I was like, alright, that wins.
Yes.
That was the best joke of the Oscar night.
That is. That's absolutely beautiful. Good job, Jimmy Kimmel. Alright, so we just watched the first two episodes of a new series that is coming to AMC. March 26th, I believe it premieres, and it is called The Terror, based on a book which is based on true events, in the mid-19th century, mm-hmm. when they were trying to find the Northwest Passage to get across the Arctic mm-hmm. to the North America, two ships got stuck in the ice and basically disappeared. And one of them really was called the HMS Terror. Because that wasn't asking for right. shit terror to go down or anything.
Yeah.
But, so the book was written a while ago. I don't exactly know when.
5 years ago, or?
I don't know when. Matt can find out for us. It's a fantastical story. Mm-hmm. They obviously, it's a horror film. Or it's a horror book, I should say. Mm-hmm. We didn't actually know what happened.
Right.
Really.
It was 2007, so 11 years.
It was founded at the same time. Yeah. And the series, they actually, partway through filming it, found the wreckage. And so they were like, oh god, what are we doing? So, anyway, we're not allowed to talk plot points. So it's, I don't want to spoil it. But basically, I think what you can say is, yeah, the boat got lost.
And yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure nobody survived. We can assume nobody survives,
yeah. So you can assume it's going to be like, I don't know, some kind of and then there were none stuff.
Yeah.
But there really will be none, probably, by the end.
Yeah.
Except for maybe the Inuit lady will survive.
It'd be nice if the Inuit lady survived.
And she just didn't tell anyone because she wasn't speaking, you know, she wasn't about to try to translate it for them.
Like, the white people didn't care about her. What the fuck exactly. did she care about the white people? Yes, that is unfortunate. You are going to have to deal with lots of racism because, yes, they were very, very racist.
Right.
Because, you know, war.
And also, it is literally all dudes. So, if you're into that, there is all
because
dudes.
Because, obviously, they're not taking women with them. Except yeah, exactly. they do meet this Inuit
yes.
woman.
Yes, they will meet a
Inuit
lady. Who
is played by an actual Inuit woman.
That is
made
cool.
a point of mm. getting somebody who was Inuit so that they didn't just cast some random Pacific Islander who looks like they could be Inuit. Mm. They actually went for the real thing, which is good.
Yeah.
Good representation. I think they had a hard time casting.
I bet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when you have a very small pool.
But yeah, it's...
It's a slow burn.
It's a very slow burn.
A slow glacial melt kind of thing.
Yeah, know, it's like... funny because... So, I think there's 10 episodes this season. I think... And... I don't know. There might be a second season because at this rate, nothing's happening. Except that they are stuck in the ice.
I mean, they're definitely trying to build the atmospheric suspense.
Yeah.
And they're also,
I think you really have to give it time, though. Yeah. Like, this is not something that one and done. If you're going to be a one and done person, you're probably not going
to
like
you definitely have to, be invested in the long haul.
You have to be willing to see where it really goes.
Yeah. And
it's got a great cast.
Yeah. If you like Mance Rayder or Edward Tully, they're in it.
Slash... Captain Jack Randall. Jack
mm-hmm.
Randall, there you go. Yep. Who always plays people you really want to punch.
Right, yeah. Whether it's because they're just super silly
is great,
or...
But they really want... You want to hit him.
Yeah, he's great at being punchable.
He's great at being that guy.
And then Jared Harris, who I know, unfortunately, from the Mortal Instruments movie. I don't actually know what else he's been in. Speaking of plagiarism.
I never actually saw the Mortal Instruments movie.
Yeah,
so
you're okay. You know,
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah, no, he's great. And I love Kieran Hines. Although every time I look at him, all I ever think about is Persuasion. And that was, what, like 30 years ago, probably?
That's right. I know him from Mad Men, obviously.
He's in it.
He's one of the heads of Cooper Price. Whatever. Actually, he might not be. I think he's the one that spoiler alert kills himself.
Sadsy times.
But yeah,
I mostly know Jared Harris because we all wanted him to be Dumbledore in Fantastic Beasts, and I'm like, oh, sad times.
I wish.
And
I watched the movie
today. I was like, he really could have been like a Dumbledore. I'm sure Jude Law is fine, but I was like,
sad times.
Anyway, yeah, I will watch more.
Mm-hmm.
I will because the story sounds interesting, but it is very slow right now. And I could walk away and probably not care.
Yeah.
But, that being said, we actually had a discussion last night, or whenever it was. Anyway, after having watched and the latest episode of Endeavor, which is in its fifth season, and just had its fifth episode of the season, and I love that show. But Matt pointed out that it's probably the only show that I watch right now that I actually would care if it ended. And it's funny because it's not there is an overarching story, but that's not the important part of it. It is mostly episodic. And, I don't know, it's just simple, and I love it. I like the characters, I care about it, and I just enjoy watching it. But it really is the only show that I think, if they tell me this episode this weekend, which is the final episode of this season. If that's the last one. And they've always said, well, we'll keep going as long as we feel, you know, like doing it. Which Sean Evans, who plays Morse, you know, could, like, you could tell he could easily just, like, move on.
Yeah.
And Russell Lewis, who writes the show, they could do other things. And I don't think there is, like, I think they like it. But it is one of those things where it's like they'll tell their story and then they'll walk away.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, for those who don't know, Endeavor is a prequel to the Inspector Morse series, which was on in the 80s. And it takes place in the 60s. I think right now they're in 1968. Because the last episode ended with Robert Kennedy's assassination. Oh, wow. Like being on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the background.
Yeah.
They don't deal with a lot of that stuff usually. So, I mean, at a certain point, you're going to catch up with modern day anyway. I mean, they are doing, like, every year. So it is the 60s. But, yeah, I think the hardest part for me, though, is there is a pairing. It's Morse and Joan.
Yes!
I got the right name this time.
You talked a little bit about them before. Yes.
I really love them. Although they are, like, they're fucking timing, man. Every single, like, every other episode, it's, like, one of them is, like, pursuing the other, kind of, but then the other's not ready. Kind of. Like, she literally asked him in for coffee after he walked her home, and he, like, was like, no, not right now. And I'm like, she is asking you in for sex. I mean, come on.
and you know,
he's proposed to her. Like, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's infuriating, but it's hard because we know he never ends up with anybody. Yeah. He's alone in the 80s series. He always kind of has women around, but yeah. Basically we're sitting there right now trying to figure out what it is that drives them apart. And I think we figured it out and we don't really, like really upset because we're like, we basically assume Thursday, his boss.
Yeah.
And
her dad, right?
Her dad. They're setting it up that he's probably going to die in the next episode.
Oh no!
It really seems like it. Because he's talking about retiring.
Oh, that's it.
Like,
that's it.
There's a whole, like, mob story that's over the whole thing. And, you know, it's talking about how he's, like, the old generation and he, you know, and Morse is the new and, like, there's all this stuff. And with Joan, the way it's like, they're almost there. It's like, oh, he's gonna die and she's gonna blame him.
That's
in some way. It just feels, I don't know. They've surprised us before because we were positive at the end of season two that Thursday was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't. And now it's three seasons later and he's still around. But so they've surprised us before and I could be wrong, but it really feels like that's what's going to happen. And I'm like, no,
aww,
don't do this to me. But then maybe the show should end if that's where it ends. And I'm like,
right. Yes. But well, I'm done with you guys now.
I know. But yes, it's really hard because I'm like, I want to ship you. But I know it's never going to happen, so right. I'm making myself sick.
Have they at least boned already? Have you got...
No, nothing. They haven't even kissed.
What? He proposed to her, they haven't even kissed?
Yeah.
What is this? Damn.
It was kind of a, like... I don't know, it's hard to explain. She was in a bad place, and he was trying to kind of, like, take care of her.
Aww.
And he's, like, marrying. Like,
all right, well, they better at least fucking kiss. If you don't even get that, that would just
I would be really pissed off.
Yeah. That's fucked up. That's not right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's frustrating. He slept with her cousin earlier this season, but he didn't know.
He didn't know.
He didn't know until afterwards. And it was like, oh shit.
He didn't know.
And then she, like, invited him to a housewarming party, and he comes, and she takes him up on the roof, and he's like, yeah, it's about to happen. And then she's like, hey, you should meet this French chick I know. And he's like, really?
Aww.
Really? He leaves. And then he meets the French chick, and he does end up with
her. There you go.
And then she just disappeared on him.
Oh.
Went to Vietnam.
Okay, then. Sounds like you just got bad luck.
I don't know. I really like it.
See, I'm like, I want to watch, but then at the same time, I'm like, you telling me about this ship that I already know is not going to happen? Like,
it's not about that.
No.
But it is. But it's not.
Yeah. It's always not about that. I should just like
show. Yeah, I should just show you an episode.
Yeah, I will. I will take we'll it. Just watch it. Like, I will take one. Maybe. We can trade. You can show me an episode of Endeavor, and I'll show you a K-drama episode.
Yes, we need to watch more of what was the
it was Queen Indians Man that we were watching.
Yes, I haven't watched any more of that.
Nope, you have not. You have not.
I liked it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Sure. Anyway,
but yeah, Endeavor. Check it out.
Season yeah. 5. It's airing in the UK. It probably, I don't think it's here until the summer.
Okay, so this summer.
It airs on PBS.
PBS. So. But find the other seasons on on PBS's options.
Yeah, I think it's, PBS have their own streaming thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't think it's on any of the other streaming services.
Everyone's got their own streaming thing. But let's not do that again.
Yeah, we've been through that. Anyway, so you have
seen A Wrinkle in Time.
Which is not getting
yeah, reviews. I've been seeing a lot of, like, pretty mean reviews for it, so I thought that I would just give some nice words for it. Like, it's not amazing, and if you're looking for, I don't know what you'd be looking for. I definitely was not expecting it to be amazing, so I guess I was, like,
I kind of was, so I'm a little disappointed. I've never read the book, and in fact, looking at the trailers, I don't even know if I can tell you what the movie's about. Right,
but see, that's the thing, like, after the trailers, amazing. Exactly, I feel like after the trailers, if I didn't know what the book was about, I wouldn't really know. Like you said, I wouldn't really know what the movie was about. So then I was like, all right, I'm going to just adjust my expectations to just, like, it'll look nice. And I thought it looked very nice. Like, all the different scenery, different planets that they go to. Because what it's actually about, in case you don't know, is this girl named Meg, her dad, who is, you know, a fake scientist. Like, oh, he's discovered how to explore the universe with your mind, you know, with particles, I don't know. Something called tessering, using a tesseract that I could not explain to you. You can traverse dimensions in the blink of an eye. Okay. So he did that, and he disappeared 4 years ago. Very soon after, he and his wife, Boo Mbatha Ra, the love of my life, adopted a child. So her brother, Charles Wallace. All right. So, Meg is, like, a maladjusted teenager now, right? She's, like, very moody and, like, doesn't do her work anymore. She used to be, like, a top of the class, and now she's, I don't know, barely passing, I guess. And all the kids make fun of her for reasons.
for reasons.
And her little brother, Charles Wallace, is a prodigy, right? He's one of those, I'm a genius child, as you know, the precocious children that film and books love. So yes. He is that. And so the kids also make fun of him. Great. Anyway, then Reese Witherspoon just appears out of nowhere and is like, hey, we're going to find your dad with the help of Oprah Winfrey and Mindy Kaling.
Okay.
So it's about finding Meg's dad, who is Chris Pine. And he does a great job, by the way. Mm-hmm. His performance is excellent. Gugu's performance is excellent. If the movie were, like, just about them, it would be, like, an amazing film. Because everything they do is amazing in it.
That's good.
The kids are, I mean, like, I don't have a problem with the kids' performances or anything. Like, I thought everyone did a good job. But like, when they're kids, the story is, you know, doesn't really expand beyond.
Yeah.
Let's find my dad. But there is obviously the aspect of Meg's insecurities and, like, the reason, like, that she hates herself, basically.
Okay.
So it is a nice, like, in the sense that there's, like, a lot of really touching scenes that, like, remind you to love yourself. I thought that was really nice. I was like, oh, this is really, I was like, oh, I feel good after seeing this. I feel good about this. But the problems with it are probably, like, a little bit of pacing. Like, there isn't, like, there's too much time spent on certain planets that is, like, the planet's not that exciting. You didn't spend a lot of time there. And then a little, like, not enough time spent on the more exciting part. You know, like the It, which actually was written before It, so Madeline Lengel came up with the It first.
As long as it's not a giant spider.
Right, it's not, spoiler alert, it's not a giant spider. But the It that is, like, the darkness that's overtaking the universe, and that is the evil thing of the battle, like, there probably could have been a little bit more build-up and tension with that, you know, instead of some other things, like flowers that speak colors, which are, I guess, cool in the book. I don't remember. I read the book, like, a very long time ago.
When you were a child.
Yeah, when I was a child. And it was cool back then, but, like, seeing it, I was like, I don't think that you can really convey that on screen. Yeah. So I feel like it's fine if you just didn't.
Maybe something just needs to be
cut. Yeah. anyway. one of the reviews I read, like, said that Oprah Winfrey's, like, her character has, like, glittery eyebrows that, like, change every scene. And that they said that that was, like, bad. And I was like, that was, like, the best thing. So, excuse yourself. No. And then, I don't know, I saw some other reviews that were, like, I feel like maybe they just, like, didn't like the movie enough that they weren't paying attention. Because one of them, like, definitely said, like, oh, Meg, it contradicts herself because she said she'd never abandon her brother, but a few minutes before she did abandon her brother. And I was like, she did not do that. Like, it was the opposite of that. She couldn't find him and then went and found him. It's the opposite of abandonment.
But, that's not what abandonment means.
Yeah. Like, not looking at him for half a second and then not being able to find him is not abandonment. But anyway, so I was like, okay, guys, relax. It's not amazing, but it's also not as terrible as the reviews are saying. It's just like,
does it feel like it has a conclusion?
Oh, for sure. In fact, it was almost like,
okay, because that's good.
Too conclusion-y. Like, I was like, oh, wow, that was done.
There's 5 books?
Yeah, but the thing is, and now I understand that, because, like, I didn't read all 5 books when I was little.
Yeah.
And I definitely thought that it was, like, a series that, like, you need to read one and then keep going, but you really don't. It's, like, a whole adventure in one book, and then, like, the next book is literally just an adult. Oh, so it's, okay. Like, it's not at all a, you know, really, and then, like, the third book, it goes back to, like, oh, here's what she was doing in high school, you know? Or here's what her other brother was doing in high school.
So, if it bombs, you'll at least get
have the story. Whole story, yeah.
Okay.
You don't need to know more.
Because, unfortunately, it is not tracking very
right.
high. It only costs $100 million to make, mm-hmm. but it's tracking for $35
million. Yeah.
And that's what Black Panther is also tracking for this weekend in its third week. Or right. fourth weekend.
Fourth week, yeah. I mean, I hope it makes back its budget at least. I thought it was like, and I've always heard, haha, it's not like I've heard that much about it all the time, but like that it's hard to film book.
Yeah.
It's hard to translate. And it is, because like the whole idea of like traversing dimensions with your mind is not even that, you know, like, yeah, what do you show? True. Just like, you're sitting there meditating, and then, you know,
shit happens around
exactly,
you.
Exactly, like, it's not.
You go through the eyes a lot. Are there scenes where they go through the eyes to show you that they're in her mind? Because that's what I would expect.
It's sort of like the opposite. It's like the things, like, it's like, oh, shimmering, you know? And then, like, okay, here's what Meg was thinking about while she did that, you know? Okay. And then also, because the villain is, like, it's literally, like, an emotional, you know? It's, like, preys on your emotions, and then it, like, changes. It's not like people are getting murdered or, you know, like,
yeah,
like, you know that this is what causes people to become bad, right? But they're not, like, actually showing that. So it's like, what do you, you're just like,
yeah,
now you're not good. You know? So it is hard, but I think that there's a lot of good performances and a lot of really nice costumes and scenery. So
do you think it helped or hurt it that Ava DuVernay has said she never read the book and so she was basically handed the project?
I feel like it probably,
because it's one of those things where it's like, it could help in that you're not married to
right, and
the
you're
story,
able to, and I, you can, one yeah. thing she did do is, I think she really simplified the stuff in the book, that in a good way, like, it streamlined, like, okay, this is what we're gonna, the yeah. sci-fi aspect that we're gonna actually bring up, but maybe in terms of, like, Meg's emotional journey, which I thought was good, but there's always more nuance that someone who came in as a fan
I don't know if I'm gonna go see it. I feel really bad, but my time is really limited,
right?
And at a certain point,
I mean, that's the thing too, because it's like, it is definitely like aimed at kids, I feel, you know?
Yeah. And so that was the point that Matt was making earlier when we were talking about it. It's from some of the things people were saying, it sounds like they needed to maybe Pixar it a bit more, where mm-hmm. it's, okay, it's a kid, but there's layers that adults will enjoy, too, and maybe yeah. that's the part they forgot to add. Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm just saying, if you had included more about what, like, Chris Pine was doing in when he was trapped, mm-hmm. or a little bit more about how Gugu Mbatha was handling Chris Pine being trapped,
yeah,
like, that would have been excellent.
That's the problem, is, I mean, if you're going to spend that much money, mm-hmm. this can't be just a kid's movie.
Right.
It has to be something that, like, relate, like, a lot of people can relate to, mm-hmm. and find a deeper meaning to, that maybe the kids won't see until they're older, but, yeah.
I mean, but I do hope to see Stormy, I think that's the girl that played Meg, in more stuff, because mm-hmm. she did a really good job with like, having to be, like, because Meg is, like, the character that, she's the protagonist, but it's also, like, she's the kind of one that's, like, the most resistant to what's happening, mm-hmm. and that's always, like, a hard place to be, and
yeah.
sometimes you're, like, Katniss Everdeen. Yeah. And she definitely was able to bring out, like, the vulnerability, but also, like, she obviously, like, wants to help, and she wants to save the day, but she has to overcome her own, you know, her own blocks.
Okay.
Which is really, like, I wouldn't have been able to do that as a child.
So, yeah.
Or act that. So.
Yeah, really.
So, good job, you.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll probably wait till it's on TV. Or, you know, Disney streaming service or something.
There you go.
Then, if I ever actually pay for it.
Yeah, or by the time it's just downloaded directly into your brain.
Yeah, there you go. Eventually, that's what we're going to be doing. We'll just close our eyes and watch it. Yeah. That's creepy. Oh, it's on Amazon Prime. Oh, okay, Prime.
Amazon Prime. Endeavor.
Endeavor is on Amazon Prime if you want to actually watch it. Thank you, Matt.
Could have come up with that a little faster.
Anyway. So, our MCU rewatch got us this week to Thor the Dark World, which she had never seen before. Which
I know,
is so
it's
weird
a new
to me.
One!
So what did you think?
Wow. Okay. I feel like I was underprepared for how much I would not care about this movie.
It really is kind of like, okay.
Yeah, in retrospect, Avengers was much better than I thought, because I was like, wait a second. Like Matt had pointed out, I think it was Matt, the Loki and Thor relationship was the most nuanced it had been.
Yes.
So I agree with that.
There's a lot of things that are good about it. Mm-hmm. Kind of in the same way that there's a lot of good things that are really good about Iron Man 3, but then you have the overall story that's just like, nobody cares.
Right. That villain was horrible.
Yeah. Sorry, Christopher Eccleston.
Right. Like, and he's just lost in all that makeup and all that, whatever. Like, I wouldn't be able to know.
I almost am like, if it wasn't for his voice, because that's what did it for me. If it wasn't for his voice, I'd be like, can we get him back in a better role in the MCU? I'm sure nobody will notice.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember what that dude's voice sounded like, even though it is Christopher Eccleston. Like, and I was like, I don't really understand his motivation. Like, I feel like they told it to you at the very beginning, and I probably forgot it.
He wanted to bring darkness to the world again, basically. There was darkness at one point.
And yeah, and he's like, I
like
Asgard that.
Brought light, and now he wants dark again.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's,
some people
I think
just
that's
like
about
darkness.
It.
Yeah, you
he
know
just
how
likes
it is.
The dark. I it's funny because I still actually think I like it better than the first Thor, and that's, but I have to admit, it's mostly because Natalie Portman doesn't drive me insane in this movie.
I mean, I'm glad that you like Jane better in this movie.
Yeah.
I like Jane, I mean, I like Jane in the first movie, but I think that her role here was well, more expanded, obviously. She has to be more than just be like, oh, hey.
I feel like she doesn't feel like ditzy bimbo scientist in this movie, and that's what bothers me so much about the first one, is, you know, she's basically ditzy bimbo, like... But this one, it's, no, she gets to be a scientist, and she's still kind of, to an extent, like, carefree at, you know, at times and fun, but she doesn't come across as, you're trying to make her, you know, an idiot.
But at the same time, she's, like, going on with her life and, like, doing her studies and whatever, you know, whatever Thor is doing or not doing.
Yeah.
So it's, like, works out. Her date with Christo Dowd was funny.
Yeah. Although, I do feel like it was a waste of Chris O'Dowd, but...
Yeah. He could have played something else.
Maybe when we get, like, Captain Britain, eventually that's gotta happen, right? Chris O'Dowd can just be in the movie, like, hey, look, it's that guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's that same character. Did we even learn his name?
Richard.
Oh, Richard. Mm,
yeah.
Not fine.
But still, whatever. He could be the same guy.
Yeah, alias. It's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Darcy was hilarious.
As always.
Yes. Ian, the intern...
Yes,
also
fun.
A great addition.
Crazy Eric Selvig.
Yeah.
Running around naked.
So,
Stonehenge.
Yeah,
which,
Stonehenge.
Which, like, how weird would that be, filming that, running around naked at Stonehenge?
Yeah. Well, now, is that because of what happened in Avengers, that now he's, like, left
yes.
over?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is That's why us. He's so happy when Loki's dead. He thinks Loki's dead.
Actually. I can never say her name. Frigga,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that she died, and I think that's, in fact, the reason that I didn't watch it to begin with. Because I was like, oh, like, whatever. Bye. But, again, as Matt said, that was very well done and emotional.
Yeah.
And it's probably, like, that could have been, or should have been, really, the emotional center of the story.
No.
That I feel like it was kind of, like, it was really good for a few minutes, and then it, like, went away. Like, Loki died because he was fighting after that, but he didn't fucking die, so that's not even relevant.
Yeah. It was, she basically dies to bring them together, yeah. to give them an excuse that they have to work together, yeah. because it's like, that's the only reason Thor is willing to trust Loki at all, even though he says he doesn't really trust him. Mm-hmm. It's the only reason he's willing to give him a shot is, okay, you want vengeance too, so I can trust you to help for that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know.
So, I mean, that part, like, that whole...
I like Loki a lot better in this movie than I did in the mm-hmm. first one. I think that, too.
Yes. I liked him better, mm-hmm. but then he didn't die again, and I really hate when he does that. So, I...
When he pretend dies? Loki pretend dies the most, right?
Yeah. And, as I had mentioned to you before, like, I really love that scene with Thor talking to Odin, and, like, asking, you know, he's like, I don't want to be king, I want to go, you know, and I'm yeah. not doing this for Jane, but... I'm influenced by Jane, just like you were influenced by Frigga.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was really beautiful. And then, you know, Odin giving his blessing, but not really.
Yeah.
And then it was Loki. So I was like, what the fuck is this? There's yeah. no.
I mean, there's some meaning to it that Loki is saying it, but at the same time, it's be saying it because it's like, yeah. Because
that's what he wanted. Know. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you don't know what Odin would have said in that instance. We can assume or hope it would have been the same, but...
Yeah.
As I was sitting there wondering, because, like, I remember that Loki was king at yeah. Thor Ragnarok, so I was like, I know something had to happen there, but I wasn't really thinking, like, that's Loki? I was just like, who the fuck does Odin think is gonna rule then? Like,
yeah. And they're like, wait, what? Yeah.
And who does Thor think is gonna rule? Just put Sif on the ground and be done with it.
I mean, to be honest, like, the whole point is that Jane's mortal. She's gonna die, like, yeah. before he, as far as he knows, she's gonna die before Odin.
That's anyway. True, and then he could just come back.
Then he just come back.
Like, alright, well, she's dead, I'm back now.
But he wants to be out there fighting. And yeah. then it all changes, because Jane dumps him, and, you know, the next movie, it's like, okay, now I have to be king.
Another bad, yeah, that's another problem, like, which isn't a problem with the movie itself, because, mm-hmm. like, they couldn't foresee that, but to have so much of it, like, center on, or like the heart of it in some way, be the Thor and Jane relationship, and that he's willing to give up being king, which he seemed pretty gung-ho about in the first one, yeah. you know, to be with her, and then to have the very next, you know, his very next movie be like, oh, well, actually, that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually that broken up about it.
It's a throwaway line.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons. Like, I like Ragnarok, but mm-hmm. that is really hard because the first, like, basically 15 minutes of that movie is, let's just address the shit we have to from the last movie, mm-hmm. swipe it all under the rug, and move on to something fun that we yeah. want to do. And it's like, okay, but there are people who cared about what happened in those movies, and now you're just being like, oh, they don't matter.
Right, right.
That is the one
yeah.
difficult thing. I think I have the hardest time. It's probably why I have the hardest time now, especially. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never really cared about Thor.
Yeah.
He's my least favorite, probably, Avenger. maybe a little bit more after Ragnarok, but whatever. Right. Chris Hemsworth's talking about leaving, and I'm like, you can go.
Yeah, go, go.
All right. We have 85 other Chrises. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Although one of them is probably leaving us anyway. Anyway.
Breathe.
I've done my crying. I will do my crying soon. Yeah, I never really cared, but at the same time, I cared enough that I was like, well, but you're just gonna... Okay.
Yeah.
So none of that mattered. Now I feel like, you know, we just did a rewatch, and I'm like, doesn't even matter.
Right.
You had to watch this movie because it introduces an Infinity Stone, but yeah. that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's right. Oh, yeah, that extra credit scene also, where I was like, oh, that's not going anywhere. He's like, one down, five to get... Nope,
you don't get them. You do get another one.
Yeah.
For briefly? Yeah. It's only there for a very short time. You almost get another one.
Aw, bless him.
Yeah. And we basically just really, really want a scene of Tenno Liirtuan and his brother.
Yeah.
Their brothers, right?
Yeah.
And his brother, the Grandmaster.
Yes!
We need the two of them together because we can see who is more ridiculous on screen together. Although I do agree with Matt, and I think Tenno Liirtuan is the sillier one at this point. Jeff Goldblum, like, watch the Grandmaster is just watching Jeff Goldblum
yeah.
be Jeff Goldblum, basically.
And it is wonderful.
And it is wonderful. It's joyous. He is one of the best parts of the movie because he's just fun.
What I had heard was that the reason that Natalie Portman was, or one of the biggest reasons she was most disappointed
yeah.
During and after Dark World was because she had brought on Patty Jenkins to direct it. Or she had recommended Patty Jenkins.
Yeah.
And then, like, for whatever reason, they sent her off. And
she wanted to do a Romeo and Juliet story, and that's not what they wanted.
Uh-huh.
Although, in a way, they kind
that
of
is what
infused
they did, really.
It.
Kind of, like, this sort of
kind
of. Yeah.
But, and then, she, it must have been much more heavy-handed,
right.
I'm assuming.
Well, whoever they chose, I have no idea who it was.
Alan?
But it was a bad movie.
Alan Taylor.
It was a bad movie, so... So maybe they should have just gone with the Patty Jenkins version. But but I was like, so I could understand why Natalie was like a little miffed about that.
The word was that she didn't, the only reason she signed on
was
because it was supposed to be a woman director, and then they didn't get a woman.
And then
well,
she was,
they had
right.
Patty Jenkins,
and then like,
they fell apart.
Yeah. So I'm like, all right, I see that.
But it's funny because it actually feels to me like she tried harder in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, Natalie Portman is an amazing actress when she tries.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem with her is it's really obvious when she signs on to a project and then she doesn't care anymore.
Yeah.
And you can tell through Star Wars. Like,
right.
She's phoning it in.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is she is not... She's a good actress, but she's not Meryl Streep. So
right.
Meryl Streep can phone it in and still be amazing. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Natalie Portman can't.
Yeah.
It's
the only
obvious.
The only so, Meryl Streep on that in Star Wars prequels was Ewan McGregor. Everyone else was like, sorry, I can't do it.
But yeah, so it's funny that she seemed more upset with this movie.
Yeah.
But it actually felt like she, I don't know.
Maybe she was like channeling that anger into the performance. Yes.
And it's funny that she now says that if they wanted her back, she would do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's never going to happen now. But...
Right. Too late. Too late.
Yeah.
But it's all right.
Yeah.
I would
be weird to see her back.
I wouldn't
like,
mind if it would
what?
Be like a random extra credit scene, like when Chris Hemsworth takes his leave, and Thor is like, oh, I guess I'm going to go
maybe
back.
Maybe I
to...
really will go back to
Yeah, exactly.
Maine. I guess I've started to set him up with Valkyrie.
Yeah. But, I mean, like you had said, like, are we going to really, is that going to get to blossom anywhere, like, before he goes away?
It all depends, because it's funny, because we just got the Thor Ragnarok disc, and we were watching the special features last night, and, I mean, he talks about it, and he's like, you know, I'm here as long as things are interesting, basically, and I was like, but you said recently that you're, like, done, like, I don't know. He's not contractually obligated. Yeah. Well, this was obviously filmed right after right after they filmed Ragnarok, and before they filmed two more Avengers
maybe
movies.
After that he was like,
so maybe
I'm
he's
tired.
Like, I need a
exactly.
break.
Exactly.
Maybe
exactly.
he's not, yeah, maybe he's not happy with what they gave him in Infinity War.
Sure.
The Avengers movies have to be the hardest in some ways because you have to service everybody.
Yeah.
And unless they knew for sure that he was leaving, he's not getting the biggest
That's
part of the story.
That's true.
He's getting important stuff. He has to get a new weapon. He's the one who's going to meet the Guardians and bring them into the story.
Oh, fun.
More. You can tell that from, you know, just everything that we've seen so far. But I think the story is going to center around Tony and Cap.
Yeah.
Because they are probably both actually leaving after this movie. These movies. Two of them. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe he just didn't. Yeah, there's 85 people in these movies.
Yeah, it's a lot of work to not be.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be there. Maybe that's the hard part, is you have to be there.
Even when nothing's happening
Even
for
when
you.
Nothing
yeah.
really is important going on for you. So maybe that's the harder part.
Exactly.
He had more fun on Ragnarok, and then he just doesn't have as much fun doing it.
It's like, it's not fun no more.
Unless he's just,
I've asked you this every single time that we talk about it, but is Valkyrie in Infinity War?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, right? Is she? We don't know. Oh, I thought she was. I think Tessa Thompson filmed at some point.
Okay.
You know what? I don't know if she's in Infinity War.
But she's in the next
But
one.
I think she's probably... Well, she's gotta be at the beginning of the movie. She's gotta be. Even if it's briefly, she has to be. Because that movie is going to start where the post-credits scene left off.
Right.
It's gotta start with, this is Thanos... And he attacks the ship. Like, I would assume Taika Waititi as Korg is in the movie.
Right.
Even if it's, like, for 5 seconds. So,
I mean, I guess it's, like, unless he, like, yells off screen,
well,
like, Valkyrie, get the Asgardians out! And then
wasn't it during filming that it was that she met you know, like Scarlett and everybody. And that's, oh, well, when they were, that's when they came up with the let's do a female only movie.
Well, and I think that would have to be filming. That would have to be Ventura has to be in it.
Yeah.
All right.
I
don't know.
I think so. I sure as fuck hope so.
Yeah. I mean,
even if she's like, just in the background, exactly,
I want to see more. I want to see more of her. So
I loved Valkyrie. So yeah.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun.
Anyway. Yeah. So Dark World is just kind of forgettable.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much.
And I can understand why after that movie he was like, "We need to change shit." Yeah. Because. Yeah, it wasn't good.
It's just not. It's just not very exciting. It's just not. Nothing's going on. Yeah.
We did watch the final one shot that was also on that disc.
Yes, we did.
Which was All Hail the King.
All Hail the King. All about Trevor Slattery.
Trevor Slattery.
Yeah. In jail.
Yeah, in jail.
Being questioned by a member of the Ten Rings.
But you don't know that.
Yeah.
For a
spoiler
while.
Alert, it's a member of the Ten Rings.
And then it was like, a lot longer than I remember it being. It's really long.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean,
if you got Ben Kingsley back.
Right, you want to milk him.
Yeah, I mean, and he was fun in that role.
Yeah,
and that he was the fun one, in that one of the good segment. Things about. Yeah, that is one of the good things about Armin. Mm-hmm. Like, he was fun. I think he helped make that movie a little bit better than
Yeah, it would have been cool if we had seen who the Mandarin actually was, but at the same time, I get that it's cool to keep the mystery.
Yeah.
So
I think that was a lot of that was response to the backlash over the fact that the Mandarin was not.
Yeah. But then to fix it by making a short where the dude from the Ten Rings is also white. Not Asian and it's and no hint that the Mandarin actually is Asian. So true. I was like,
it's obviously a title that's been passed along. Yeah. Because he asked about it being old.
Right.
I don't know, you could argue that it's a way of showing how widespread.
Right, exactly. I definitely took it as that. Yeah. I was like, alright, it's a whole organization. It's like, you know, the hand.
But will we ever see anything come from it? Was that just he wasn't actually the Mandarin, leave us alone?
Yeah.
Or, in part that, but also, we're going to tell the story eventually. I can't imagine they're going to. No. He's probably going to die.
And isn't they could tell it with someone else, but who would care?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But the best part of the whole thing really was Jesse Hammer showing back up, which I had forgotten happened.
That was really funny.
I think I only watched it once when it came out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I completely forgot. I was like, Sam Rockwell!
And we see he found someone in prison.
He's got a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really fun.
Yeah.
That was really cute. That was the best part of the whole thing for me. I was like, oh!
I felt really bad for that bodyguard, though, man.
Yeah.
He was just trying to help out. He was just a good guy.
His butler, he
his
called
butler,
him.
Yeah. That was butler. Like a little bit, alright.
Yeah.
His butler.
I don't know if I think I would be okay if that's all we ever did. The Ten Rings are out there.
And I also don't think that, it's not like it was a well-received storyline that people are clamoring for more of,
Maybe it's better if you just don't.
Agreed.
Yeah. But anyway, because we were talking about Infinity War, the biggest news of the last week was we have one less week to rewatch the MCU. We've had to change our plans, all because Marvel decided to give us the movie one week earlier.
Damn them.
How dare they? And they took away, it could still technically happen, but it's not going to be the same of the Josh Brolin getting two huge blockbusters in the same month.
Oh, that's
month.
Right. That's it not, won't be the same month exactly.
I mean, he will technically.
That's why they changed make, it.
That was why they changed it. But it'll be back-to-back months. And half of what Infinity War makes is probably going to still be in May.
That's true.
So there is that. I'm mostly just excited because I'm hoping this means that they're going to do the same thing for Avengers 4. Which, if I was like a studio, I would be looking at my movies and moving them. assuming that they're going to do it.
Yeah.
Because we've already seen movies move. To get out of the way of this change.
Right.
Rampage has moved, and Bad Samaritan is moving,
oh my God.
Too. Because they know.
Yeah.
They're
going to get trampled.
They're going to get, absolutely, nobody wants to be out around Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to assume this is going to happen next year, and this means I don't have to fly to the UK to see it a week earlier. Because I was like,
you would have.
I was thinking, if things were okay, I was considering it, because I did not want to get spoiled, because it was, Black Panther came out 3 days, no, 2 days early, and it was hard to avoid spoilers.
Yeah.
You have, I assume certain things are going to happen in Avengers 4, but I don't want it confirmed.
Right.
it's a lot easier to stay off the internet for 12 hours than or 24 hours, whatever.
Than for a whole week, yeah. You have to, like, blacklist everything.
Yeah, really. I can't stay off the internet that long. No.
It wouldn't happen. I wouldn't be able to do it.
It's really hard. But yes, did you see the little exchange where Robert Downey Jr., like, on Twitter with Marvel Studios?
Oh, yeah.
Where he prompted, he was like, hey, let's give him a special gift.
Yeah, that was cute. That was cute.
I actually saw somebody who I think thought that was real, and I was like, yeah, no, they planned that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I mean.
Hey, but that's the magic of it, okay? Yeah. You're supposed to think it's real.
Well, and then there was all this speculation that it meant that they were really going to move Solo up to May 4th.
So May 4th.
And it was just like, no, because they'd be shooting themselves in the foot, because Solo is probably already not going to, I don't know how well it's going to do. Yeah. It's a Star Wars movie, but
it's not the, yeah.
Why would they do, they would either, if it was good and people liked it, they would be taking away from Infinity War.
Right.
And if it's not, they're taking away from it. Like, no, that's stupid. I was like, that was the dumbest
I think we know it'll be good, considering how little we've seen of it so far. And it's coming out relatively soon at this point. So it's like, I don't feel like they trust that.
No, I think they're,
I think they know.
Yeah. It might have been slightly influenced by the fact that Deadpool had moved up.
Oh, yeah.
And that they now get a full solid 3 weeks before Deadpool comes out between Infinity War.
That makes sense.
So I could see that have been a little bit of a factor. But I think, honestly, spoilers is probably one of their biggest things.
Yeah.
It's just, you know what? It's easier.
Yeah, it's true. A wide release, yeah.
Yeah.
Because if some people hear the spoilers and then they don't, you know, they don't like it.
Yeah.
Then then you'll have an issue.
Yeah, like me, who's going to, you know, be crying all the time. Mm-hmm. Probably not. This movie's probably going to get me. But next year is the one that I'm...
That's still going to be the massacre
of your emotions.
You're going to kill me. Because, so, I can't remember who posted it. I guess Chris Evans posted it. There's a new picture in Wakanda, in the scene that we've seen parts of where they're obviously fighting. So it's Black Panther, Cap, Black Widow. I can't remember if Okoye is in the picture too. Yeah, Okoye is in the picture, and Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing is, Bucky is wearing an outfit that looks a lot like
his
Sergeant Barnes First Avenger outfit. And they released promotional posters for every character where they're all using their code names. Well, except Groot, because obviously.
Groot is Groot.
They're all using their code names if they have one. Except Bucky, it just says Bucky.
Yeah.
It does not say the Winter Soldier. They seem to be pushing hard, getting rid of that persona. Which I just think means even more that
clean slate to clean be Captain slate America.
Give us our new Captain America.
I was literally about to call him Captain Marvel. It's Captain America.
No, that's somebody else. That's the girl. Yeah. Yeah.
And that hurts your heart.
It hurts. It, like, makes me happy, but hurts at the same time. Like, that's the problem, because it's like, well, it'd be
maybe
really awesome, but I don't want Steve to
just retiring from the life of superheroing and becoming a civilian with Shuri.
A Bucky, you mean?
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say live with Shuri, is what I'm saying.
I thought you were going to say that Cap Steve is
No.
To live with Sharon, and I was like, ew, no.
No, why would I say that?
No,
I don't care about that. No, I know you're not you. I know you definitely don't want that.
Sorry, no.
No.
I'm really hoping that the fact that
we just never see her again.
That she's not in this movie, and she's really just not in this movie. Sorry.
And he just dies without ever seeing her again.
Yes. Like, it wouldn't matter.
No, it wouldn't matter. It would be irrelevant.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think we know that there's something with Peggy at some point, somehow, in the movie.
Maybe it's Steve dying and seeing a vision of Peggy welcoming him to heaven. You laugh, but when it actually happens...
No. Please, no. No.
Anyway.
I love Peggy, but...
Not that much.
No. Yeah. I also love Sousa. And thing.
Yes.
It's like, what, it, like, that's always one of those things you do where you're like, what, we just erase the other, like, the rest of that person's life? Like, that was...
They do that sometimes. It's always they so do. Obnoxious.
I'm still pissed off at freaking Lost when oh, they did God. That, when they're like, everybody's young again. And it was like, what about the baby who lived a fucking life and right. just
gets She's still a baby. It's fine. It's fine.
As a baby?
Yeah. I'm so mad about... I'm still so fucking mad about Lost. I can't believe Jin and Sun decided to die together instead of one of them going home to raise their stupid child. Like, how much did they hate that child? They had to with her horrible, horrible father. Ugh. Anyway. I hate them.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Fuck that show. Anyway. But yeah. We get it a week early. Now we have to figure out scramble and how to see how we're going to get through all these shows.
So you're going to hear even more Marvel rewatches.
It'll be mean we're over. We're done with it sooner. Is yeah. that good?
Maybe I guess.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
We'll be able to schedule with other people more often. We miss you, Angela.
She doesn't want to talk Marvel with us.
She doesn't want to.
Nope. So,
anyway. I think that's it.
Yep.
I think we're done.
Good night and good luck.
Yeah, we will be back next week with, woohoo, my favorite Marvel movie, The Winter Soldier. I am so excited. Especially because we think Brian's going to join us. And he says he hasn't seen the movie since it was in theaters, which to me is bizarre because I've seen it probably 800 times. No, maybe not that many. But I watch it when it's on TV, and it's on TV a lot.
Yeah.
So it's my, like, hey, look, Winter Soldier's on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That'll all be fun. Because right. it's almost like it's new to him. But he doesn't like it as much as I do, so fight that out.
Oh.
There will be fighting.
Alright, well, I love fighting, so. Conflict is where I live. No, I really hate conflict. I'm just gonna be in the corner being like, it's probably both things. It's both great and not great. Anyway.
He likes it. He just doesn't think it's as great as I think
right.
it is. Which, you know, fair enough. Anyway, thank you for joining us. As always, you can find more news, reviews, interviews, etc. on withanaccent.com. And you can follow us at withanaccent on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, all that, Instagram, everything. And at Pop A La Carte Pod. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.